Podcasting from Nashville, Tennessee, this is your New Constructs Weekly Market Update. Visit us at newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor, and market veteran, David Trainer.
Today I'm going to talk about one of the most hyped stocks of our time. And really, there's not a lot of competition here. It's Tesla, TSLA, a stock that has been publicly shorted by some of the main, one of the more knowledgeable people in the market, Douglas Cass, famous guy on CNBC. We put it in the danger zone in 2013, and I think our thesis for this company still holds. And in fact, it's actually being proven out with a recent announcement from GM that they're going to be going more head-to-head with Tesla. A couple things we pointed out in our danger zone article of it in summer of 2013 on Tesla was that they had overstated profits. They had baked in some special tax credits from the government, as well as some foreign currency translation gains into their earnings to make them look better than they were. The stock definitely fell a good chunk after our article, but as most people know, it has since bounced back from the 150 that was that summer up to 200 now. It's dropped, I think it's gone up a lot higher, and it's come down quite a bit here recently. And this is a perfect example of one of those stocks that's going to, in the near term, be going all over the place. And if you want to speculate and ride that, be my guest. But in the long term, what's going to drive this company is profits and its relative valuation. And first of all, the profits really aren't there. A meaningfully negative return on invested capital. There is no profit at this point in time. And in order for them to generate profit, as we point out in our thesis, they've got to take major share of the market. And it's very difficult to take major share of any market when your car is that high end. And it's questionable as to whether or not they could even sell enough of these super expensive cars to actually make much of a profit. I'm not saying it's a bad company. I'm not saying Elon Musk is not a great guy. He's an awesome guy. He's a brilliant guy. And these cars are beautiful. Every time I drive by one, I'm like, that is a nice looking car. And I've ridden in one, and it's an awesome ride. And the mapping system, Android-based, is terrific. The whole computer system inside the car is terrific. Tons of room. Super smooth ride. It's a wonderful car. It's a great car. And in lots of cases like this, really what you're talking about here is something that is great for consumers, a product that is great for consumers. This is like Amazon. Everyone thought Amazon was going to be the most amazing stock ever, and we've seen it come way, way down. At the end of the day, Amazon is not about making its shareholders money. It's about making consumers money or saving them money. And at the end of the day, I think Tesla's going to be about making the people who buy those cars, because in effect, you're getting them at a huge discount. They're actually cheap compared to what the company needs to charge to break even. So effectively, shareholders are subsidizing the buyers of Tesla cars. And I think that's an important paradigm to keep in mind. Look, there's a difference between a good company and a good stock. Tesla could be a great company for its clients, but doesn't mean it's a great company for investors, okay? So what we're saying really in terms of investing, Tesla's neither a great company or a great stock, but if you're a buyer of a Tesla, oh my God, it's a great deal. It's a great deal because shareholders are willing to subsidize a huge amount of the cost of that car. Let me be specific about what we're talking about. So back when we first put Tesla in the danger zone at 150 bucks, it implied the company's profits or the profit margin was going to go from negative to the same as Harley-Davidson. And keep in mind, motorcycle companies are way more profitable, way higher margins than car companies. So we're being generous there. The profit margins were going to be as high as Harley-Davidson's within 5 years, and they were going to have to grow revenues at 35% compounded annually for 10 years. Now, at 200 bucks, we're talking about 35% compounded annual revenue growth for closer to 15 to 20 years. Okay? All right, so we're basically have a stock price implying that they're going to take over the market and see huge increases in margins. So really one of two things has to happen. They're going to charge two or three times as much as they do for the existing cars in order to make some profit there and grow that market like crazy. You got to assume that you're going to have a mass market almost for $300,000 cars, which I don't know. I don't think that's possible. Or they're going to create a low-end market car and go head-to-head with the likes of GM, Nissan, and BMW, all of whom are way ahead, and Ford, of course, all of whom are way ahead of Tesla. They've already got low-end electric cars that are actually doing quite well. And in some cases, we read reports about the Nissan Leaf is actually the biggest selling electric car, doing way more units, not way more units, but more units than Tesla. And so you also run into the issue of scale. And that's really where margins come into play. GM, Ford, BMW, they have all built out enormous amounts of scale and infrastructure. Scale, infrastructure that allows them to produce cars in volume that they can afford to produce because they're selling such high volume. A boutique-ish-like car manufacturer like Tesla does not have scale because they're catering to such a small market. If they were to build out and build as many cars and build out with the kind of scale that GM, Ford, Nissan, Toyota, BMW have, you know, they would be, there would be Tesla, you know, they'd be giving them away just to get them because it'd be costing them to keep them on showroom floors. They're just not building enough to have that kind of scale, which means the cost per car is higher, which means the margin is lower. And now that you've got GM, Toyota, Nissan, Ford, all these guys, BMW, in the low-end car market, they're effectively taking away the scale opportunity for Tesla. They box them in. Tesla operates at a huge competitive disadvantage to all the other major car makers because they lack scale. Again, I'm not saying that Tesla's a bad company or Elon Musk is a bad guy. He's a terrific person, I'm sure. He's a terrific idea guy, brilliant guy, super smart. The car is awesome, as I said. Beautiful. I think it's one of the best-looking cars I have ever seen. Super smooth ride. I mean, a great invention and an awesome deal for those that can afford to buy one. Because in reality, the cost of making that car is much higher than what they're selling it to you. So you're getting a great deal. And I recommend people buy the car, but do not buy the stock. The stock is significantly overvalued. Read more details in our blog post back from the summer of 2013 to get specifics on exactly how the company has overstated its profits and how its valuation is, in my opinion, wildly out of control as it's become a popular stock. And as we know, popular stocks, they can do all kinds of things that defy gravity and defy reality for finite periods of time. My message to investors is similar to the one I always say. Be my guest. Try to make money in the short term. Play the whipsaw movement in markets, whether it's on individual stocks or whether it's on macro moves. But if you really want to be careful, if you really want to make sure that you're protecting yourself from the Wall Street insiders and you don't want to be left holding the bag, because believe me, there are people on Wall Street who know when that stock's going to go up and down before it's going to go up and down. High-frequency traders are not the only ones that have insider views on the flows that go in and out of stocks. When I was first starting our hedge fund, I remember Goldman Sachs was effectively bragging to me about how much flow they had going through their prime broker system and how they could use that flow to give me pricing advantage versus other people. I was a small and still a small hedge fund. Imagine what they do for the bigger guys, right? I know that SAC Capital was engaged in a lot of things that the Justice Department eventually convicted them for. And I know that their huge amount of businesses that they did with the main big Wall Street brokers, huge amount of business they did, allowed them access to special information. If Goldman Sachs is talking to a $10 million hedge fund in 2008 in Nashville, Tennessee, about how they can help them with giving them insight into the flows that go through their prime broker system, imagine what they're telling someone like SAC. And they see every one of these big Wall Street brokerage firms sees huge amounts of flow, not just through their prime brokerage system where they support all these hedge funds, but also through all the trading they do on their regular trading desk. These guys have huge inside information. They know what kind of sell orders are coming in the morning before they hit. They know what kind of buyers are coming in the morning. They can see trends and know what the institutional investors are doing well before you do. So as an individual investor, We gotta stick together. We gotta make sure that we do the homework that we can do. Take advantage of the information that's given us. That's all the information publicly available. And yeah, it's a lot. And it's a terrific, laborious, difficult chore to read the entire end report. That's what's gotta be done. Unless you just wanna put yourself at risk and leave yourself blind to key knowledge that insiders use to take advantage. Right? And the way they use it is by acting on it without others knowing it. They have all this information. They use that. That's how they make more money than we do. That's why they're in Wall Street, living in penthouses, and we're living on Main Street. There's a big difference there. The game is rigged. There's no question. I spent a lot of time on Wall Street. I was there during the tech bubble. I was at Credit Suisse. While Frank Quatrone was there. Trust me, I know how the sausage is made. So do the diligence. Know when companies are overstating their earnings. Know when their valuations are completely out of whack. And find companies that you like that also have good quality earnings and meaning and reasonable valuations. Again, if you want to speculate in stocks like Tesla, be my guest. It's a risky proposition, and some of you will make money doing it. Some of you will get lucky, and some of you will be very unlucky. You want to play the lottery? Buy the lottery ticket. You want to be a real investor? Read annual reports and do your homework.